Oh, we're born, and my mother and dad were both heavily overseas. But my dad was here before First World War, and he was in the American Army. He was with the horses, the cavalry.
Yeah.
And her mother and father, they weren't married yet or anything. And my mother and my mother's one sister, younger sister, and my grandparents, my mother's mother and father, came here after First World War because their old house, they had a bar on the bottom, and they lived up on the upper floor. This was their house. Their parents had a bar in Belgium. And they came here then after that because this was all. And my mother, my mother's oldest sister, and five sisters, and they were here before the First World War. They came over about the time probably my dad did.
Mm-hmm.
And then, well, there was no place to go. And when they got off of the boat in Ellis Island, well, my mother's brother lived in Toledo, and he had a home there. And then the older sister lived on the same street and had a home. And so they came there to come and stay with them until, well, about a year or something. And my mother, in the meantime, my dad was working on St. Vincent's Hospital in Toledo. So he was out of the Army and that. And he was living in Toledo with, with my mother's oldest sister and her husband. And they had a couple kids, sister. And so my mother and dad got together, and they got married, and they rented a house that happened that there was a nice house on this same block on Leybourne Avenue, halfway down the street from where her brother lived and where her other sister lived.
Mm-hmm.
So they rented this house, and then my aunt that came over with my mother that wasn't married and that, and then my mother's mother and father lived with them.
With
your
mother?
Yeah, with my mother, because they were, my mother and dad was married then. And they were old already. The mother and father was about, they had to be in their 70s.
Your
already.
Mother and father?
My grandparents.
Your grandparents, okay.
Were about that age.
Yeah.
So then anyway, I think I was born 2 years later after they got married and that.
What year were they married then?
They were married in, I was born in 22, so they had to be married in 20.
Uh-huh.
And we lived there till I was a year and a half, and then we moved to Monroe because somebody had told, the hospital evidently was done for what he was working on. He was making the cement, and then they made it in, in those things, and when he got the cement in that thing done, then they put it in a pail and lifted it up to the floor as they worked down on it and cemented it this way. It was a lot of, work that, I guess it was terrible. But anyway, after that, they finished with that job and that, so he heard somebody in Monroe or some friend that worked there from Monroe told him about a job at River Raisin. At that time was River Raisin, but I forgot what the last River Raisin was called after this other I can't remember what the, but anyway, it was down there on Elm Avenue, way down.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one standing yet on the other side of the railroad track, the one part of, when you go to Dixie Highway,
yeah,
around. But I don't know what the name of it is. It's the River Raisin, what they called it. But it's a different name now. Anyway, they went ahead. Oh, there's a school bus. What's that school bus that's going on?
Oh.
Anyway, they he got a job there. So they, a little bit later, they came down to Monroe, and they bought a house on, well, first they rented it for about 5 years, I think it was, on Kentucky Avenue.
And this is in Monroe?
This is in Monroe. It's down at the east end.
Uh-huh.
And it was real nice down there in them days. It wasn't like what it is now, I guess. I don't know. I haven't been down there in years. But anyway, they bought this house and that, and that's where I grew up. And then my brother was, I only have a brother, and my brother was born in that house.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't born in the hospital because in them days they didn't even bother. I mean, once in a while somebody went to the hospital, but as a rule you were born at home and you had a midwife which got everything prepared and everything.
Yeah.
There was a lady that lived about a block from us, and when my mother started getting sick and all that, why, they, she came over right away and got the water ready and all this kind of boiled water.
Did you get to see your mother?
Yeah, well, I had to stay outside. All we knew was that I played with the next door neighbor, and all I remembered was that, my mother was sick and we couldn't go in the house and all that, and they would let us come in after later, but we never knew she was going to have a baby or anything.
Oh.
I mean, that isn't like today that everything is told, this and that. I don't know in a way if it's good or bad the way it is. But anyhow, they, and then my brother was born, and then when he was born and that, they, well, we heard crying.
Uh-huh.
And, oh, there's a baby crying, this other little girl I played with. So, anyway, then they told us that, you know, and they said I could come in to see it. This was a long time after they had it all cleaned up and everything was fixed up and that.
Yeah.
And my mother, of course, was in bed, and then my aunt came. Well, when we bought that house, when we moved to Monroe, see, my grandparents came along with us, and also my aunt, because she never was married or nothing,
uh-huh,
and she stayed with us, and my grandparents. Well, then when I was, I think I was 3 years old when my grandfather died, had a heart attack or stroke,
mm-hmm,
and I was six. I was just starting to school at St. Joseph's school down there. And, you know, I could English, not one bit of English, because we were Belgium, and we talked Belgium in the house all the time. And, like, there wasn't any small kids or anything around to be able to talk with. And then, like, the neighbor kids, I don't know what's there. I guess you just played with the kids, and that was it.
But you don't remember talking to them?
No, I don't remember. I mean, I think the little girl understood. I remember there was a little girl there and must have understood everything. We played with dolls and this and that, and must have not been any language spoken, you know, nothing spoken or whatever. Maybe she thought, well, that's a dummy. She don't say anything or that, whatever. So anyway, when I went to school, my grandmother then, I was 6 years old when I started in first grade. In them days they didn't have kindergarten or anything like that. And I came home at noon for lunch, and my mother was hanging out clothes on the line, and my grandmother was getting me something to eat for dinner and that, and she fell over backwards. I remember this real good and had a heart attack and died.
Oh, and while you were there?
Yeah, while I was there. So, anyway, then before the year was over in school, I learned to speak. And, of course, the nuns were real happy about this because this was a great thing with them. You know, they thought, well, gee, this is something that there's not too many, although there were Italians. There was a lot of Italians that lived in our area and that, and some of them couldn't. They spoke all the time in their language and never, you know, a lot of them couldn't hardly speak either.
And then you all went to school together?
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
And we learned in no time, I don't know, in 2 or 3 months, I learned to speak English.
Wow.
And that, well, from the nuns and all that, you know. And I went there to school until I was in eighth grade, and then from eighth grade, I went to the academy. And in the days when I went to the academy, where I lived on Kentucky was by Kentucky and 6th Street. We had a great big house there.
Mm-hmm.
And, we walked every morning from there. It was about 2.5 miles or more to St. Mary's Academy over here, where it is. Well, it's not there. I mean, there's other things there now. And that's where I went to school.
Wow, you walked every day?
We walked every day. And there was, there was three girls that lived in my area that went to school with me. And the three of us walked until we got, we met two other ones, I think it was, coming up 3rd Street, I think it was, that they lived on. And we all walked together like this. And in the wintertime, this was dark. I mean, it was really dark because we had to start out at 7 o'clock in order to get there for school for 8 o'clock because school started at 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the afternoon, we had to walk home too because nobody had cars too much. Only the really rich ones had a car.
Yeah.
And that was the only ones that could afford them then. So, anyway, I got out of it, and then as I grew up and that, when I was in 11th grade, I got a job at the mother house in the infirmary where the nuns were, and I worked there about 2 years or more, I think it was. And at first after school and that I worked, and then after I worked full-time, I'd come in the morning at 6 o'clock. Well, by then, my dad had gotten a car, and my dad brought me every morning for 6 o'clock. And this was in the infirmary, and there were four floors that this one nun and myself took care of, and we had to get the food ready. And see, we had this great big electric cart, it was, and that cart we made the food we had made so much of it. For the nuns, there were about 44 nuns that came downstairs where we were, but not in the kitchen. They had a refectory, they called it, that was like a great big dining hall. Next to our kitchen where we were, Turnai. And in the morning, there were two great big pots of those great big pots that make the coffee. And I used to get that. Well, it was like, you just turn the water on. I mean, there wasn't nothing, and put the amount of coffee in the thing in there. And I knew how to do all that kind of stuff. And then I'd make toast some mornings I'd make toast. But this nun that was in the kitchen with me, she came down before they went mass. See, they had mass at 6 o'clock. So she always, they had to, in them days, go to church and that. And every day they went. They never missed a day or nothing. Well, I would get there, just she'd open up the door for me, and oh gosh, it was all, you know, there was a lot of rooms and everything down there, but it was all empty and everything. Nobody was down there, nothing, just me, and she had like the hallway light on and then the big kitchen light on and then the refectory, all these lights were on so that I could see and wasn't afraid because, well, I was a young girl at that time. And I made the coffee, and then she would get the pot. She had two great big pans. They were huge. That she made double boilers, they were, because there was water in the bottom. Mm-hmm. And then she fixed oatmeal or cream of wheat or something like that. And then when I came, I'd stir it up good and everything. And by that time, it was ready to be put onto the table, because in a half hour, the nuns came, their mass was about a half hour, a little more than a half hour. And they'd come down to breakfast, and all this stuff was sitting on the table, and we put, well, she used to help earlier before I even got there, and put like jelly on the tables and the butter and all the places. The nuns did their own dishes in there, and then when they got through, they'd set their plates all back and cleaned their plates off and set it upside down so that, you know, dust or nothing would get onto it. And they had their napkins, their cloth napkins and that went to the laundry and everything. And they had all that fixed themselves, but the milk and all that stuff went in on the tables, a pitcher of milk on each table and that. And then they had a side thing that we put all the hot foods and stuff on, and they got it. And then with this big electric thing that we had, we filled that up, and that was taken up on the other floors by one of the other nuns that had charge of that, because that was like one floor was, there was a school floor then that the school kids from the academy, that they had boarders in them days, you know, that boarded over there from all over. And they, if any of the kids were sick, they had a nurse that took care of it, and these kids had to come to the infirmary there and would be in bed and that. And then the other floors, there was one floor, the fourth floor was the contagious diseases. There were some nuns that had TB, and there were some that had cancer in them days, which we didn't know it was cancer, but that's what it was, in TB. And then all that food was gone up for them like that, and it was the same thing at noontime. We had to, they'd come back at noon, and same thing at supper, but I only worked until, well, I did work at supper time for a while, and then later I went home at 4 instead of staying for 6, because they always ate at 6 o'clock, and I'd help put the stuff on, but I never helped take it off, because I went home in the meantime. And I worked there for 2 years, and then after that, I got a job at Consolidated, and the nuns didn't want me to go. Oh my gosh, but you know what, in them days, I worked all week long, and every other Sunday I worked for $5 a week, This is what you got. But the nuns were real, real good to me.
Yeah.
They really were. They always were. Whenever there was something, when it was Christmas or something, or if there was a holiday of some kind, oh my gosh, they'd always give you a nice gift and candy. They got like these old, all of them. If they got candy or boxes of this or boxes of that, that their parents came to visit them, and that some of the older ones was like their relation and that, and they were real old and that, but they couldn't eat that stuff or nothing. And those nuns would give you a nice big box of candy or something, not that you needed it. I mean, when you think back about it, but they did. They were all, they really were nice. And then we always had, whatever was left from the tables and that, we had families in them days that lived over in the vineyard and then off of, oh gosh, Union Street and back in there and that were real poor people.
Mm-hmm.
And they would come with a wagon, these people.
Yeah.
And they would bring coffee cans and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And we gave them all kinds of food that was left.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it was good food,
yeah.
You know, and they didn't waste anything.
Oh, I'm
none.
Sure. Yeah.
And we gave it to these people and that. And when somebody came there, they always took care of people that
yeah.
didn't have nothing and fed them, you know, and that. And anyway...
Well, were you the only girl, and were you the only one that worked there?
With the nun. I worked.
Wow.
Yeah. And this was in the infirmary part. This part that's back over this way where the chapel is. It's in between where the big chapel is on the end. Well, it's, when you go around, I don't know if you've ever gone
yeah.
for a ride in the back
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I've been
there. Well, in that middle part where you see a lot of cars in that first place when you go
mm-hmm.
in. There, that's where the infirmary is.
Okay.
And now they've built on in that
yeah.
middle part. They have, I've never been over there. I've been invited so many times.
Yeah.
I said, when I've got so many friends of those
yeah.
nuns there, the older ones, that one of these days I am going to, but I don't want to, this one friend of mine, we were talking about it last week, that we might go over together sometime.
Yeah.
But anyway, I worked at Consolidated, and then when I worked at Consolidated that, I started going out. I was only, 18, I think.
Did you graduate from the kindergarten, or did
I
you
had
left in a while?
One more year
yeah.
to go, and I quit school.
To go to work?
I did not want to go anymore. I
yeah.
don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, my mother and dad were so mad and everything. And I had chances to go,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that, but I never did. Well, then I... anyway, when I started working at Consolidated and that, and I didn't have to go to work because there was only my brother and I in there,
uh-huh.
and my dad was working. My mother never worked. I mean, in them days, women didn't work. I
yeah.
mean, my gosh, you wouldn't, you know, this was no place for them to be working. And anyway, I didn't want to go, and I got a job. Well, I worked at the academy, but then I worked in Consolidated there. And I worked there, I don't know, when I first started working, I worked about a year, I was about 18. And, well, that's how I met my husband. Friend and I, we used to walk uptown. It was a girl that lived up the street
mm-hmm.
from us. And she was Belgian, too. She you know, with someone I knew real well and that. And we went, like on Sundays, we'd go uptown after dinner and, well, sometimes we'd go to the show or something, the matinee. And then a lot of times we didn't. We just, there was what they called in them, at that time, Candy Kitchen, which is Campbell's Bar or something now, right where that is on Front and, or not on Front, it's on Elm, not Elm, Monroe Street, and I don't know if it's closed now. It might be because it's such a dirty
yeah.
place and stuff. But anyway, that was a real nice place, and it was owned by Greeks.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. and Mrs. Milanakis. Well, you know, Dr.
Yeah,
Milanakis,
yeah,
that's
my
his
yeah.
aunt and uncle
that owned
this.
Okay.
And they brought him over here and brought his dad and them
mm-hmm.
over here from... Greece or whatever,
Greece,
yeah.
yeah.
And so anyway, we'd go in there, and that was a famous place for all young kids. They sold Cokes. That was
uh-huh.
famous for
yeah.
Cokes, and everybody'd go in to have a Coke and that, and they also had ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd go in there every Sunday, and of course that filled up with young guys come in, and oh, a lot of young girls and that we knew and that, but especially these young guys.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That. Well, that's how, I don't know, we got to meeting them. One time this one guy that was a friend, or that my girlfriend got to knowing, and this was, Jack had that one Sunday, he hadn't come in there because... Well, I think like with his family, and like he said, they only had that one car, and his dad was sick for years and years mm-hmm. with that emphysema,
uh-huh.
which is now, he worked at steel casting, and he got in those days, they got what they call black lung because they weren't protected by nothing. Mm-hmm. And all they had was these burlap bags in front instead of the equipment that is supposed to be to protect you from
yeah.
getting that. And you're sweating and everything, and of course that's how you get it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, his dad was sick and he couldn't, I guess there were times that he couldn't have the car or anything because, unless somebody came to pick him up on that, because they needed it to go
yeah.
to the doctor. And he had a younger brother, which is the one there in the uniform, that got killed overseas. He was a paratrooper in
uh-huh.
Second World War. He got
oh,
killed.
Wow.
And anyway, this one Sunday, she and I went in there, and this friend of hers, he came and sat with us, and, you know, we're sitting there talking and all that, and he was telling this, a friend of mine told me that he said that Jack wanted to go out and take me out. So I thought, oh my God, I don't know. Because in those days, hey, we weren't allowed to go out, you know, like if we went anywhere, even though we were 18 already,
uh-huh.
you were home early. If you did go, you had to be home early. Okay, I had to talk this over and that, and finally, well, he did ask me and everything. He came then, and he asked me to go out to go to the show and everything, and I said, well, I don't know. I got to talk this over because I don't know if I
yeah.
can or not, you know. So, yeah, I was allowed to go, but I had to be back by, I think it was 10:30 or something when
uh-huh.
the show. It was early. You didn't get out like you do today, any hours of the night and whatever. So, anyway, we did, and then that's how I started, you know, going with him and that. And in the meantime, I did have another friend that they were Belgian people from Detroit. They lived at Grosse Pointe Woods.
Mm-hmm.
And the father, there was only this boy, and the father was a contractor that built homes all over. And that kid, they used to come a lot because they were real good friends of my dad and mother's and that. And they would come at least once a month, they'd
mm-hmm.
come visiting
yeah.
and that, you know, well, they had a nice big car and that.
Yeah.
And we went there a few times, too, because in that time already we had a car.
Mm-hmm.
But he was nice and all that, and I did go with him a few times and that. But he was different. I mean, he was more, I think, demanding and thinking,
yeah.
Maybe it's because when there's the same nationality or something that they think they really kind of own you,
uh-huh.
you know, right from the start. And being the parents knew one another and that.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, I kept going. I went back then with Jack. Well, I went off and on with him. But anyway, I started going with him then all the time. And then I was engaged for 4 years before I ever got married.
To Jack?
4 years.
Wow.
So, anyway, I finally got married. And it was, we got married when he was in service already. He
uh-huh.
went to Second World War. And it was in 43 when I got married.
Mm-hmm.
And he came home on a convalescent leave that he had had surgery in the service.
While he was away?
Yeah,
uh-huh.
while he was in service and that. And we got married then in November. He was home for a month.
Uh-huh.
So during that time, he wanted to get married, and
yeah.
we got married.
Well, after 4 years.
St. Joe's, yeah. There's our picture way up on the top there. And that's my mother and dad's wedding below.
That one right here?
Yeah. And then the one way up on top there is Barbara. That's our oldest daughter.
Uh-huh.
And then there's Joanne's wedding.
Right here?
Yeah. And
oh, wow.
Our Pat, I had Pat's too, but Pat's divorced, so she wanted me to, she says, Ma, don't even put that picture. It was a nice, because all of the girls are in, all of my girls were all in Barbara's, or Joanne's wedding, Pat's wedding.
Uh-huh.
And, I don't know, Julie was in Kim, yeah, Pat's wedding. So, anyway, after we had a real nice wedding in that. We had it, oh my gosh, it was in November when we got married. And it was cold and everything, but it was a really nice wedding we had at St. Joe's Church.
Is that where your winter church?
Yeah, at that time we went, because we still, at that time, lived down in Kentucky and that. And, well, he was in service and I lived with my mother and dad.
Uh-huh.
And then before he went into service, I went, after I got married, I didn't go, let me think, did I go? No, I didn't go right away up there with him. But see, we got married the 27th, the same day Joanne and Bill got married. They got married on our wedding anniversary.
Yeah.
And that was on the 27th of November. And I went just, I think it was after Christmas. I don't think it was before Christmas because he couldn't come home for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, they wanted me to, you know, be home and that and the rest of them, everybody. So, and he was, I don't know, he was going to school at that time because he was, he was a staff sergeant. And he was going to school for something. He still was going to school. So they, I went up then right after Christmas. And I stayed until March up with him. We lived
Where was he at?
He was at Fort Bragg, North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
And we lived up there in a, it was like an apartment, but it wasn't. It was one great big room. It was bigger than this. There were four, these are old plantation homes.
Uh-huh.
Great big homes.
Yeah.
And where we lived, there was a real old preacher and two old maid daughters. And they had church every Sunday night in their home.
Mm-hmm.
And the daughters played, the two daughters, each of them could play the organ at once. They had a great big, oh, beautiful organ in there. You know, we used to sit outside because there were so many people and they have to came to this. We'd sit outside like on the steps or they had a whole bunch of seats, these benches.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd sit out there and listen to them, you know, and that. And, but they had, this was a great big home. They had the whole downstairs, and then they rented the upstairs up, and there was four great big rooms upstairs, but you had to share the bathroom. We all had to share this one bathroom, and a bathtub was all there was.
Yeah.
But anyway, like, the women and that, we never, after the men went in the morning and that to work, because, well, they had to take the bus and go right away, or sometime this one guy had an old car, and then they all ride with them up at camp, and we would take our baths and take our time and everything, then we'd all go out for dinner over there. We were allowed to, because there were officers and that, and we could eat at the table with them, like up at the front, and then the rest of this in the mess hall was all the younger guys and all that were just privates and stuff like that. Oh my God, they'd whistle at you and everything else until the general and, or, you know, one of the big wheels from their, general, there was one general in their platoon outfit. And anyway, that we'd sit up at this front table because it was a great big long table across, and that's where they sat. And there were seats for us up there. Wasn't we wanted to sit there because you got to face these other people and talk to them. And, but anyway, that's where we would sit, you know. And it was fun being up there and that, and every day they, and in each room, they had a small, in the middle of the room, there was a small potbelly stove, one of those little teeny potbelly stoves in there. And the only thing you could, you could cook coffee, make coffee on it, and you couldn't do a whole meal or anything because there wasn't any room around it. And you would, like we'd go to the mess hall always to eat, all of us and everything, and go along with that. Well, most of the time they weren't off duty yet, and see, we'd go up there for in the afternoon for 5 o'clock. They got off at 5. We'd go, and then that was supper time. And we'd have to take the bus and everything and go out there to go eat with them, and then we'd think, come home with them and that. And it was a lot of fun. It was like, it was in the winter time, but in the daytime, it was real nice and warm, and you could go without a coat and everything. When nighttime come, it got real cool, and you had to have a coat on or a sweater or something heavy, you know, to wear and that. And walked around, and at that time, there was, when he was there, and that the, that was one place, the port of embarkation, where they were leaving for overseas and that. And there was, sometime there was 150,000 troops in there. And, oh, my God, when you went uptown, and this was a small place, it was a small town, there were two shows, and people walked 4 or 5 across, walking in the town and looking around because there wasn't nothing else to do. And we used to go a lot of times and go along the streets and that and look because there were so many beautiful homes, these big plantation nice homes and that. And we, you know, pass our time like that, or sometime with the women that men didn't want to go and they'd want to play cards or do something like that. That was another thing we did. I mean, they'd come like in one house, or one room or somebody else's room, and we'd play cards. And then we'd always make some coffee and get some cookies or something, you know, to eat with it and that. And we had fun, though, with them. And then once in a great while, we went to the officers' club. But those were kind of, we'd have to go, like, to South Carolina. One time we went there, and it was before his brother. He was at Camp Lejeune. No, that was in North Carolina, too. But it was at, I can't think now what that other place was in South Carolina. And we went over there, and went ahead and went out to visit him, and we went to the officers' club, and oh gosh, we met so many people from Monroe that we, you know, that he didn't know was even out there where his brother was and that. And that was the first time he had met up with his brother since before he went to service and that. It was quite a while and that. And, well, then he got out, well, then when I went up there, of course, then that's when I got pregnant when I came back. And then my oldest daughter was born. And then he was overseas for 3.5 years.
While she was born?
Yeah.
When was she born?
She was born in September 1st in 44. And we went to, he came back in 45. And, she was, I don't know, 25, but she was a year and a half, that's right, from what she was born in that. When he came home from service was a year and a half. And, God, he was so glad to, see her in that. That's when he got out of service in that. And he was over in the Pacific at the time when he was in service in that. And when he first came home, we stayed with his mother because his dad had died quite a while. Well, his dad died before he went to service and that. And when he came home, his brother had gotten killed he was overseas in the Pacific. And when they got notice of his brother, was a paratrooper, he got killed in Holland.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't, you know, like they were supposed to, if there was only one there, they were supposed to let that one come home to take care of. Well, the mother was old, and they had, Mary was only 11 years old.
Was that his?
Mary, uh-huh. Yeah, his sister. And I think you've met Mary before,
haven't you?
To Mary, to Joanne's or something. And, she was only 11 years old. 9 or 11. I think it was 11, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know. She might have been even 9. And they wouldn't let him come home at that time.
Dear.
So when she got word and everything of that, she really took it hard. Well, I stayed out there and that with her then. And then later on when he came home and that, we went home to our house, to my house in state, because my mother had a bigger, you know, home and that, and there was nobody there. Well, I had a young brother in that, and we stayed there so we could get a car that we could go out to take his mother places and stuff when she needed. And in the meantime, well, my dad, we always had take my dad's car because you couldn't buy a car then. You know, you had to put your name in and, oh my God, it took forever before you ever got a car. But we finally got one. And then after we got our car and he got back into work and everything right away, why, we saved up enough money that we could buy. We bought that house next door. We lived
I remember
next
door. Where did he work at?
He worked, first of all, he worked at steel casting because that's where he worked when he went to service in that, see?
Yeah.
And his dad worked there and his brother worked there, too. And then they, he got hurt there. That's right, he smashed about a year. Oh, it wasn't even a year when he came home from service. He smashed one of these housings, they call it, it's like a pattern or so. And anyway, that fell on his foot. And he was off for quite a while with that. Every day he had to go to the hospital to have it taken care of, whatever, and they'd soak it and do this and that, and I don't know. And finally, he was able to go back to work, and then he worked at Consolidated on the south side here. No, on the north side. Worked there 15 years. And then he got, I don't know, his nerves were going, I think it was all of this, do you watch that?
No, I was looking at the picture again. Oh,
oh,
no,
I
was looking at the picture.
Yeah, I thought maybe you were watching that story. And anyway, he got sick where it was like his nerves were going bad and that. So he went to the doctor and everything, and the doctor told him he had to get out of the factory.
Mm-hmm.
That's what was causing it. But he says, I'll get you a good job. He got him a job. The doctor.
Got him a job.
Dr. Tomlinson.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you ever heard of him. He was in Newport, the doctor. And,
I know the name Tomlinson. But
he's got a son, Bob, that lives out there that does horses, shoes horses and all that. Yes, and I don't know. And here a while back, there was something in about his one daughter that she was a nun, and she became a nun and went and she worked at a nursing home, and her mother, when her dad, I think it was when her dad died, her mother was up here first at the hall at the, that big nice apartment, you know, over here. What do you call it?
The high rise?
No, the one, it was the Hall of Divine Child, but they have a new, it's they made it into a nursing home. Norman Towers.
Okay.
She moved into that, and then she got sick over here, so they took her up to where that nun is in South Carolina or Georgia. I can't remember anyway. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, he got Jack this job for the city.
Oh, wow.
So he worked for the city about, I'd say 15 years before he retired.
What did he do for the city?
Well, he drove truck in the DPW, yeah. He drove truck and, most of all, he drove the truck and that for everything, whatever kind of thing that they did in that. So, anyhow, then he retired and... Well, when he retired, he wasn't the best. He should have, he started going downhill a lot in that, too. And I thought when he retired that the big thing was going to be that, oh boy, the kids were all married in the meantime already. And Barbara got married first. I think she was going to be 22 when she got married. And then Joanne, I think she was 27 when she got married.
Okay, is she the middle?
Yeah, she's
the middle.
And then our other youngest daughter, she's,
is this
one up there.
Okay.
And she was about 27 too,
Yeah.
She was older, she got married and all that. But they went to college and everything, and it took so many years and stuff, not really, but 25 anyway,
yeah.
24, 25, something like that. And then Pat, she went to, she started out where she was going to the mentally retired and all those
teacher?
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's what I'm getting into, special education.
Yeah, special ed or whatever you want to call it. And she worked even out to Ida there, when she was taking her. So it took her, she went about 2 years longer to take all kinds of different other stuff. She was always involved in something. And like in Jefferson, now she worked with a lot of those kids that are... the hard learners and everything that, and she's got a, she even she put on a program herself that nobody else ever did this with some of them real slow learners and that Jefferson that she's taken care of.
Wow.
And doing, a class like that with them and that. So she likes school. She's good with that kind of stuff and that. So... I don't know, she teaches like 6th, 7th, and 8th graders in the middle school, and she said, boy, some of them, the parents that they come from are really hard kids to handle, and you feel bad for them, for the kids themselves, but, what are you going to do with them? Anyway, that's about it, I think. Besides them, if you don't, and I worried about that kind of stuff, but he was a guy that they could have anything. He would, let him have that. And every year, though, I do have to say when he worked and everything, we went up on 2 weeks, or it depended. If he got at 4th of July, they shut the mills down, like they do now, I think, too. And we would go for 2 weeks up north, and every year we'd go to a different place, where they really were all over. That, and we had fun when we were up there, and the kids all went with us. Even Barbara, she went until, honest to God, she was 18 years old already, and she still wanted to go, So, but we had fun, and he was always good to them. kids and some, he's always good to me and that, so I can't ever say he was, even though sometime I could have killed him when, especially when I have to, you know, go do this or do that, or that he'd tell me that he didn't want, like if there was something, and I'd say, well, this is coming up, now remember, we're going to this, we are going, and, he'd say, oh yeah, we're gonna go. Well, when the time comes, he'd say, I don't think I wanna go. I said, oh, you don't? Okay. Well, he had his mother, one thing, his mother would always side in with me for everything, you know. So if we didn't want, if he didn't wanna take us or go to something, boy, she made sure he did go. She'd say, oh yes you are. We're all going. So he'd go. He didn't say anything. I need to have a good time after he got there and that. But yeah, he was a character.
Yeah. How long were you guys married?
The year that he died, the next fall, would have been 50 years.
Wow.
Then. So and he's been dead now, just 3 years it was, in March.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's awful because, you know, even though he was sick for 3 years, he really, you know, and had his leg cut off and everything else. And I said, it's still... I was here with him in the house. He was here. And there was somebody. Where now, it's an empty house. And it's really, that's why I really enjoy when the kids come to stay or something like that. Well, of course, now, Kim used to come all the time.
That's what she said.
Oh, my God, every week she would come. When it come Friday, she'd say, take me over to Grandma. She couldn't stand the boys.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she tells me all the time, I can't believe they're coming home
was,
sick and I'm leaving.
She did.
Yeah. Well, they pick on her so bad.
Oh, my.
I was with them last, they
but
came home
know
last
what?
Weekend.
She, yeah, they were home. I didn't even, no, they called me when, but I didn't see them because last Saturday they were busy with that ball or whatever.
Yeah,
that's
when I saw them. I always watched them play basketball.
And then Sunday, what did they do? They Sunday they left. At 2 o'clock or something.
Yeah, they always
did. Yeah, because Joanne and them had that
the dinner.
That dinner.
She was making Jello when I was over there.
Oh, she made Jello for him. Then?
Yeah, she made a bunch of. It was fun. She made a ton of Jello, green Jello at that.
Oh, was it?
She put it all in cups.
And. I did, because Saturday we went to, well, it was...